When it comes to innovation in technology and business, the Canadian prairies are unique. Finding the right talent is a unique process. Finding funding is a unique process. Finding support for high-risk projects, finding market access, finding collaborators. The prairies are a unique place to innovate. That's why Prairies Can exist. A few years ago, what used to be called Western Economic Diversification was split into a group for the West Coast and a group for the prairies, born of the simple fact that the prairies are a unique place to do business. The goal of Prairies Can? To help tear down the barriers to commercializing new technologies and to help grow and diversify the economy of the prairies. Recently, Emissions Reduction Alberta embarked on the Barriers to Commercialization study to try to better understand and help innovators overcome barriers to innovation, to look at our past investments, and to unpack the roadblocks innovators face when bringing new emissions reduction technology to market. And because the prairies are unique, Prairies Can seemed like the perfect partner in that study. I'm Craig Werner, Director of Climate Policy and Performance Measurement at ERA. And in this episode of Carbon Copy, we're sitting down with Derek Armstrong, Manager of Innovation Ecosystems at Prairies Economic Development Canada, or Prairies Can, for our second conversation about this study and to talk about what we learned. What makes the prairies unique? What barriers to innovation exist here? What can we do to help companies overcome them? Our conversation with Derek from Prairies Can, here on Carbon Copy. Well, good morning, Derek. It's great to have you on the podcast today. Thanks for joining us. I'm looking forward to our conversation today on the Barriers to Commercialization study. Before I start asking my questions, maybe you can, you know, for the audience, state your name, the organization you present, and your role in the organization.
Yeah, thanks so much, Craig, for having me on this podcast. I'm really looking forward to talking about this barriers to commercialization and the broader ecosystem. And it's what I do day in and day out. So really relevant to my work. My name is Derek Armstrong, and I'm a manager of innovation ecosystems at Prairies Economic Development Canada, or Prairies Can for short. I'm based in Calgary with Prairies Can. I manage a team of four or five individuals. And we're here to support the innovation ecosystem in Calgary and beyond.
That's fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit more about Prairies Can and what its role is here out in the prairies?
You know, I could summarize what we do at Prairies Can through a few key roles. I think we're best known as an investor. Through our funding programs. We're a funding agency. I could talk a little bit more about that. But we do a lot of other things inside Prairies Can. We convene different economic actors to get together to discuss some of these problems out there in the ecosystem. We advise, so we inform some of the decision-making. We advocate, of course. So out here, we're place-based economic developers, and we advocate on behalf of Alberta and the prairies into Ottawa. And we're also a pathfinder. So as we'll talk about a little bit later, there's a lot of different programs out there, a lot of granting programs and so forth. So we really do out here help individuals navigate the federal economic programs. And as an investor, I'd like to touch on that one just really quickly, because that's kind of what we spend the vast majority of our time doing. And we have different core programs that we work on. I myself manage a program called the Regional Innovation Ecosystems, and that's a program for not-for-profits, and it's non-repayable funding, and it's really providing all the support that entrepreneurs, innovators, SMEs, everything they need to thrive here in Alberta. So we fund all the accelerators, the incubators, collision spaces, industry associations, post-secondary institutions, and so forth. So I could talk a lot about that today. But we also have other programs. We have one called the Community Economic Development Diversification. So that's less about innovation. That's more about community ACDEV. That's also not for profit. It's non-repayable. And we're just trying to enhance community capacity and economic resilience there. And our third bucket of core funding is the business scale-up and productivity. And that funding goes directly to companies. So that's the patient, non-dilutive funding straight to companies. And that's for high growth, high potential companies that are scaling and require capital to help them scale. And then it's repayable, but the terms there, it's interest-free, it's 5 years of repayment. So a really good program there. Our priority sectors, of course, we take a sector-based approach, clean tech, energy transition, major, major priority right now. But we also look at agriculture, life sciences, advanced manufacturing, digital tech. And a big priority for us is inclusiveness. So we have a major focus on underrepresented groups, indigenous peoples, women, and youth. And lastly, I'll say, you know, why do we do all this? Our ROI for us are economic outcomes. That's number one. So we really want to grow. We'll go back to the mandate, grow and diversify the economy. So we're looking at jobs, we're looking at revenues, we're looking at investment attracted, and a lot of more KPIs that we track.
You know, in terms of your role as as a manager of the innovation ecosystems at PrairiesCan, what do you think are some of the most significant barriers you've encountered so far?
I think right now, the biggest barrier for me that I'm seeing out there in the ecosystem across all sectors is, of course, just access to capital. And that really fluctuates from year to year, from month to month and so forth. But I think, you know, the biggest thing that I'm hearing is just that access to capital, and not only access to capital writ large, but for earlier stage and high risk. And I think that that's something we just really need to continue to plug away on here in Alberta. A few years ago, and I think it's still an issue, is talent specific to the tech sector. There was a big shortage definitely a few years ago. There still is, and there's still issues. There's skill set mismatches, and that's, you know, was identified in the report as well. And we've invested quite a bit into that space over the last few years. So a lot of different work integrated learning programs. We funded an initiative called Talented YYC through Calgary Economic Development. That's where, you know, all Calgary's post-secondary institutions have come together to work on a digital platform so that, you know, we can get more students into some of these work integrated learning positions, and then, you know, they could hit the ground running with the job. So, you know, aversion to risk is a big barrier that we're seeing. We not only see that, you know, in the ecosystem, we also see some of that inside government, and that's kind of an internal barrier that we continuously work on. That there's, you know, just a culture of risk aversion, and very understandable. You know, we are dealing with taxpayers' money and we need an ROI. And so sometimes, you know, there is, you know, just this culture of risk aversion. I would say PrairiesCan is on the cutting edge, though. There's always been a real openness to try new things and to push those boundaries. And then, you know, the other barrier is just the speed. And I think we're going to talk a lot about that around commercialization. To me, baffles me that, you know, that it takes an average of 13-14 years to commercialize a technology. So I see that as such a major barrier to really growing and diversifying this economy. And we just need to be quicker, both inside government, out in the ecosystem, with adopters, with the innovators, and we just have to find ways to reduce that timeline.
What are also some of the misconceptions that exist within, you know, all the narratives that are being played out within Alberta's innovation ecosystem, as they might relate to some of these maybe more well-known or known challenges that we know are difficult to overcome?
If you are a clean tech company, there's no better place to be than in Calgary, slash Alberta right now. We have an Alberta advantage. These energy sector skills are just naturally lending themselves to the clean tech sector. So there's just such an unbelievable momentum right now that's happening. And you can look at that momentum right from the earliest stage, the top end of the funnel at the Energy Transition Center, from ideation to startup to small companies to now larger company, larger clean tech corporations that are scaling really quickly here. So it's for every phase of entrepreneurship. I think Alberta's just on that cutting edge of innovation. We are already world leaders in carbon capture and storage, in methane emissions reduction, in things like the hydrogen economy. We're getting out ahead there. Renewable energy in Alberta, who would have thought that we are, you know, it's just booming right now in southern Alberta, wind and solar and even a geothermal company ever. Yes, they're not quite operating here. They have their first projects in Germany, but they're going to be looking at Alberta as well. So Ever, really exciting company there. And I think Emissions Reduction Alberta supported Ever's. Entropy, a carbon capture company, got $200 million from the Canada Growth Fund. The Canada Growth Fund's first two investments were right here in Alberta. Look at that. Like the first two investments from the Canada Growth Fund were right here. Ever and Entropy, $90 million, $200 million. So that gets me just really, really excited. And I think that's a signal of everything that is happening right here, right now. I would say the second biggest misconception out there is that there's no support here for clean tech and, you know, the clean tech industry and, you know, governments don't care and there is no ecosystem and it's so difficult to operate here. I would say it's the farthest away from the truth. You know, all levels of government here are supportive. You have the province, you have Emissions Reduction Alberta investing vast sums of dollars into the industry. You have other government of Alberta departments like Alberta Innovates, who I work really, really closely with. You have the City of Calgary, City of Edmonton, you know, City of Calgary, Calgary Economic Development, Edmonton, everything that's happening there around the hydrogen economy. So we have really come together, multiple levels of government, to build this clean tech innovation ecosystem and provide the support that innovators need. Yes, there's gaps. Yes, there's challenges. Yes, there's these barriers to commercialization. And we're constantly working on that. But I just don't want to forget that what we have going is extremely positive and it's a major, major economic opportunity.
If I can bring us back to investments that PrairiesCan has made, maybe could you talk a little bit more specifically about some of those investments you talked about, things like the Energy Transition Center? I'm interested to hear from your perspective, you know, made those investments. They're really important supportive mechanisms in the province. What do you think the key learnings from those investments are?
My team here based in Calgary over the last 3 years, we've invested about $100 million into the not-for-profit ecosystem. And so that's a lot of different projects. That's 40 to 50 different projects totaling $100 million. So we've invested into, you know, the Platform Innovation Center, this one-stop shop for entrepreneurs. We've invested into, you know, SAIT for applied research. There's a lot of different innovation hubs out at the University of Calgary. So there's Life Science Innovation Hub, Social Innovation Hub. That's where the Energy Transition Center is housed as well. Invested a lot into hydrogen, which I'll talk about, into, you know, mentorship programs, accelerators and industries. So there's just a lot that we've put out there in the last few years so that entrepreneurs have all this support for them. So in 2019, we actually funded the Transition Accelerator to establish the Edmonton Region Hydrogen Hub. So we provided them with $1.2 million, it's not for profit, to just start building out that ecosystem, to conduct techno-economic analyses, to bring stakeholders together. 2019, that was 5 years ago. And so how much has happened between 2019 and now is pretty mind-boggling as well. There's some major investments going into hydrogen. And that was 1.2 million. But Cipher Technologies, we invested 1.35 million into them to do some hydrogen testing. We supported Alberta Innovate's Hydrogen Center of Expertise through Cipher. That was a $3 million investment. One of my other favorite projects is the Alberta Motor Transport Association. We funded them for $3 million to test and trial hydrogen trucks in real world settings here in Alberta. So carriers can actually borrow one of these hydrogen trucks and actually drive them with drivers on real routes and refuel them and maybe invest in these hydrogen trucks themselves in the future. So it's just all about that de-risking.
I want to take you back to that Energy Transition Center. What do you think was the key ingredient there? You know, you talked a little bit about investing the time to have the conversations with innovators, hearing from innovators, listening to them. Do you think that's a significant part of the success of that investment?
Oh my gosh, yes. Like, that is the key, honestly, Craig. Like, you know, Justin, when he was here at Prairies Can, you know, really wanted us to get out there into the ecosystem. He always said, you can't do economic development sitting at a desk behind a computer. And I really took that to heart. And I, you know, I'm out there, I'm integrated in the ecosystem. I'm part of this ecosystem. I go to events, I talk to innovators, I talk to fund, like, they're the ones who are going to tell you what's missing, what the gaps are, what we need to invest in, what government's role is, you know, where the opportunities are. I really appreciate people's time, and I value their time. And I do think that, you know, talk and meetings and so forth, they really need to, as much as possible, result in concrete action at the end of the day.
What motivated Prairies Can to be part of the study?
Well, you know, because we see that there is a problem, and I think we need to kind of get to the root of the problem and see what those barriers are and what some of the solutions could be. And, you know, that's why we wanted to be part of this study, to better understand the non-technical barriers to tech commercialization, with that focus on clean tech, given it is such a major priority for us.
Industrial scale carbon capture. North America's first hydrogen-powered locomotives. Using drones for reforestation. Since 2009, Emissions Reduction Alberta has been helping to deliver on the province's environmental and economic goals by investing in projects just like these. Projects that pilot, demonstrate, and deploy clean technologies across our industries. Whether it's detecting methane from space, producing biogas from Alberta's agriculture industry, or one of almost 300 other projects in our portfolio, ERA's investments in these game-changing technologies are reducing emissions, lowering costs, attracting investment, and creating jobs right here in Alberta. ERA's funding is sourced from the Government of Alberta through the Technology Innovation and Emissions Reduction, or TIER, Fund, which is Alberta's provincial industrial carbon price. For more information about Emissions Reduction Alberta, visit eralberta.ca.
So Derek, now that the report's been published, what can you tell us about the findings around the technology to market?
What they saw were three key buckets that are holding entrepreneurs back. And the first one is just the tech innovator needs that they need. So the resources, the skills, the support that they need along their entire journey into tech commercialization. The second bucket was just that broader context. So the environment in which they're working in and how they're looking at this ecosystem to advance their technology. And that's something, as manager of innovation ecosystems at Prairies Can, something I'm really concerned about and that we are looking at all the time. And we are taking that systems level view. So we're not just kind of looking at each organization individually. We are looking at the broader ecosystem. And I keep really harping on that inside Prairies Can. And then that third bucket is integration. And that is, you know, how that system, this ecosystem, is working together, how they're being integrated, how they're collaborating, how they're interacting with each other inside this clean tech innovation space. I'm not sure if you've heard of the Building a Green Prairie Economy Act. And so this was, this is something that the late Jim Carr MP, it was his initiative, and he really wanted the prairie provinces to work together to build this a green prairie economy. And so a few weeks ago in December, we released the framework to this. So the Building a Green Prairie Economy framework. And so here we're going to, it's all about working together inside the federal government, between the different, you know, government departments, but also with our partners, our other levels of government, indigenous groups, and all the different stakeholders out there. And it's really about coming together to help solve some of these challenges in a collaborative way, faster, more efficiently, and in a more impactful way. And so Prairies Can has actually allocated $100 million inside its funding envelope for concrete action-oriented initiatives around this Building a Green Prairie Economy Act. And so I think that that touches a little bit on that integration piece as well, and something we're trying to pursue. So something that really struck me with the report was, you know, we identified all these, you know, barriers and challenges, but in reading it, I said, you know, oh, there is this support for this. Oh, there is this organization that can help you with that if you are finding it a challenge. So I think maybe there maybe is a lack of awareness of some of the programs that are out there. And I think that that is actually part of the problem, because I think one of the recommendations was that, you know, it is a complicated ecosystem and, you know, there's no ecosystem map and it's hard to navigate and so forth. And that's something we're also looking at. But you know, it struck me that, you know, Prairie Scan has invested in a lot of these supports. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, those innovators should reach out to me and I can make connections and get them the help that they need. You know, when we talk about skill set gaps, like Mount Royal University has an amazing program called Growth Catalyst that they can go and immerse themselves into a program and really try to hit these, you know, growth episodes. Of course, Alberta Innovates, us and OSIF came together to do the $35 million in scale up growth and accelerator program. So there is no shortage of accelerators out there. And it's at every stage of entrepreneurship and anything you need there, whether it be mentorship, whether it be connections, whether it be, you know, collaboration, whether it be access to capital or talent. So there's a lot of accelerators out there. When it comes to, you know, lack of sites and so forth, there are some sites out there. You have Exergy themselves. You have an emissions testing center run by the Canadian Gas Association. You have Carbon Management Canada that's doing a lot of cool stuff. You have CIFR Technologies up in Edmonton, of course. And you have PSIs and our applied research at SAIT and NAIT. And so there's a lot that does exist out there. And I do a lot of that. I do a lot of that pathfinding, as I mentioned, and making connections to some of these resources that are out there.
Maybe you could take us through, from your perspective, a bit of a summary of what you think these key recommendations from the study are for Prairies Economic Development Canada's perspective, and maybe also how you think that relates to other ecosystem partners.
Absolutely. Like I said before, I think, you know, all these recommendations really resonated with me. I think, you know, there was nothing I really disagreed with. The only thing I thought was, you know, some of this stuff is already happening, as I mentioned, and maybe there is a little bit of a lack of awareness. But if that is the case, I actually think we need more of that, clearly, because that's what some people are seeing. So sometimes it's a scale thing. It may exist, but maybe not to the extent. Maybe it's not. Maybe there's, you know, not enough room for companies to be taking advantage of some of those supports, you know, and some of the other, you know, short term, long term, medium term solutions. You know, like I said, I really encourage you to have a look. I think there's some really cool policies and programs that we can continue to scale around carbon contracts. For difference. Entropy was a good case study on that one that gives certainty as to the carbon price in the future. And so that was a big, that was such an interesting investment into Entropy from the Canada Growth Fund. We need to see more of that. I think, you know, we could provide incentives for R&D and really kind of tackle that productivity problem that is clearly also a challenge in Canada right now. And when it comes to innovation ecosystem funding, a plug for my team. Like I said earlier, more of that, just at a larger scale. As this ecosystem continues to grow, we need more of that ecosystem funding in different areas. On some of our programs that are succeeding, we need to scale them and so forth. We need to, you know, have more funding for some of those higher risk demonstrations too. I think that is a very strong role for government. We need, I think, in government to be the ones taking risk. We shouldn't put that burden on to companies who have, you know, a responsibility to their employees, to their investors, and so forth. I think that that's where government could kind of come in and de-risk some of these higher risk demonstrations. There's so much that we can tackle. And really, really looking forward to diving into some of these recommendations and actually implementing them inside PrairieScan.
From a PrairieScan perspective, what are your goals for the next few years? And maybe what advice do you have for clean tech innovators looking to commercialize their technologies, especially here in the province?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's such a great question. So, you know, at PrairieScan, we're just really laser focus on some of our key sector priorities. I think we have really great direction inside PrairieScan as to what those key priorities are. I think, you know, in the past, it was sometimes a little bit disorganized, and there were a lot of different sectors that were a priority, but I think we've really honed in on some key priorities, including clean tech, agriculture, inclusiveness, and going to continue to focus on those priorities and deliver on that framework for building a green prairie economy. The other thing we're going to do is just continue to keep an eye on some of these emerging innovations and some of those key opportunities. And you know there's going to be new innovations. The stat that always strikes me is half of the world's emissions cuts needed to get to net zero will require tech that isn't yet commercially available. So what a challenge we have ahead of us, but what an opportunity. So we need to continue to be proactive. We need to hit the ground running when those innovations emerge. And that's being part of the ecosystem, talking to innovators and really kind of hearing about these new innovations as they emerge. On PrairieScan, we really want to continue to monitor all our previous investments that we've made. Like I said, we've put $100 million out there. So we want to continue to be on top of all those investments, protect our investments, get that ROI, and get those KPIs for Canadian taxpayers. Potentially work through an election that's going to take place in fall 2025, whatever that looks like. And inside government, that's always, you know, a challenge, but it sometimes presents an opportunity as well. But change, we're going to have to manage that change in the next couple of years. And, you know, honestly, just continue to be a good partner. So deepening those ties with our partners, with all the stakeholders out there, deepening our sector expertise inside PrairieScan around clean tech, because it's going to be a priority and it's going to remain a priority for as long as my career lasts. So really excited about the next few years inside PrairieScan. And the advice that I would have for clean tech innovators is, you know, like we keep talking about, get involved in that clean tech ecosystem. I know time is money, but I think that there's such a valuable network out there. So build that support network, give to the ecosystem as well, but take where you need to. So there's a give and take when you do immerse yourself into the ecosystem. The more you give, the more people are willing to give back. And be okay to fail. Take the learnings. And like I said, take advantage of all the amazing low-cost government-subsidized supports that are made available to you. You know, and I know some of these accelerators and programming, they're recruiting companies. They want companies to join their cohorts. So, you know, the mentorship that you can get, the industry associations that you can join, the applied research that you can get done at an extremely low cost, the access to talent platforms and the government support. So I'm here. I always say, you know, talk to a real person inside government, and I'm a real person and I'm out there. I'm very accessible. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on social media. Shoot me a message on LinkedIn and I will respond. I will meet with you. I'll have coffee with you. I'll help make these connections for you. I'll give you advice and we'll work together. And so feel free to reach out to me directly. Like I said, LinkedIn or email. It's simple, derek.armstrong@prairiescan.gc.ca. This is what I'm here for. And I'm looking forward to hearing from, you know, anyone out there in the ecosystem. And I just want to thank you, Craig, for this. This was a lot of fun. And what a great way to start a Friday.
Thank you so much.